Here we go, hour number three. And what we're doing is trying to stay on top of this. It's so voluminous, and it's not only its numerical voluminous, but its importance. It's huge. It constantly is raining down, and we're trying to stay up on top of it for you. Last night was a very important program. It's up in the archives there. You can find it, or you can look at Erica Kahn over in Columnists. You'll find it there as well. Lots going on. We did a lot of talking about microclotting, which may be one of the ultimate death engines imaginable. It's a slow burn, so to speak. Well, it is and it isn't. It depends how quickly these microclots are forming, one after another, in any area of your body, and most especially your brain. If you begin to get, as a vaccinated person, brain issues, I think you better have a D-dimer test right away to see if there is evidence of clotting in your body. I don't know what you could do about it much. They do have anticoagulants, so we'll see. But I read several things last night that Erica was able to find, just appalling things. Most especially people who are not vaccinated being impacted by those who are. And we don't know exactly what they're shedding. We guess spike protein. It's in the patent, admitted, mRNA in the patent, admitted as being shed and spread. There may be many other things. We just don't know. They could be altering these formulations on a weekly basis. We don't know. It's that simple. Erica, welcome back. Thanks for being here again.
Oh, thanks for having me back, Jeff.
It's too much. Too much.
It's changing by the minute.
Every day I see something new that is really concerning. And I don't know where to go with it except to put it up for all of our listeners to consider. That's the best we can do. It's on the website. It's here. And it just continues. Anything new today that you've seen after what we talked about last night?
Yeah, a couple more reports of this, what I'm calling the bystander effect. Unvaxxed people spending time in the presence of vaxxed people and then suffering some, really alarming side effects. I have one I can read. It's not too long.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to share this. This is in a social media group. I've never had the shot, but have been around, have been around someone who has in the last few weeks. My friend lives with the above, and girlfriend and son are now sick with the virus. None of them had the shot, and we all used to hang out all the time. I've been feeling pukey the last week. They are full-on sick. And this morning I had massive amounts of blood in my stool. I've had pain in my head, not a headache, burning sinuses, bloody mucus along with smell and taste not working properly.
And this person is not vaxxed.
No, and sharp pains in my intestines, poor sleeping, and sneezing. Now, there were some replies to that. Let's see. The first one was, oh, my word, that sounds serious. You should see a doctor, ambulance if necessary.
Yeah.
And another person says, it's up to her, but personally, I would not blue light myself anywhere near a hospital at present. I'm now officially terrified of being near a hospital. With good reason.
Oh, you bet. Yeah.
And the last one says, oh, well, I'm sorry to hear this. I hope you feel better soon. Yes, I went out to dinner with three vaccinated friends 5 weeks ago. Lovely night, but when I was lying in bed that night after dinner, my heart started beating so fast. It was quite scary. It was irregular for about 3 weeks, but has since settled, thank goodness. I had blood thinners to help me get through it. It was very strange and scary. Stay safe and take care of yourself and your loved ones.
And that's just an hour or two after spending an hour or two with friends who have been vaxxed. This is astonishing when you think about it.
It's frightening.
The volatility of it is off the scale. How can something jump that quickly into someone else's body perfect health, let's say, just for the sake of discussion.
Well, not sick anyway.
No. And then they start manifesting these things that very night. Wow.
I mean, whatever it is, it appears to go systemic. I mean, these gripping pains in their intestines and headaches and, these bleeding disorders.
Yeah, the hemorrhaging is particularly concerning to even hear about. What's causing that? What is causing a breakdown in the circulatory system? We know the vaccines attack your circulatory system and your blood. We know that. But something is obviously rupturing somewhere. Something is degrading. Something is broken to allow blood like that to manifest. It doesn't just leak out on its own.
No, and the speed at which it happens, within hours of being in the presence of people that have been recently vaxxed, we don't know what the time frame is. I suspect that they're shedding profusely in the first few days of having had the vax, and then maybe it tapers, or maybe it gets worse. We really don't know.
And just to be formal and official, we do really don't know what they're shedding. We're projecting it's a spike protein. That's a pretty damn good guess. We also know from the patent that the mRNA can be shed. So they may be getting, and other things are certainly on the table. We just don't know. Those two alone, that is reminiscent of what happens when people get the injection. Some of them fall over dead in moments. Some of them begin to hemorrhage, like that young man in that one video, in moments. Actually, they just took the needle out, and the guy's massive nosebleed runs right down on his shirt. They inject. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, the vaccine stays right at the point of injection. It doesn't go anywhere else. So how does this kid and all these people within minutes start manifesting these things? It goes all over your body immediately, of course. But my God, these are really big changes in the physiology of the body. They're damaging. Something, I don't know. Could it just be the spike? I don't know.
A spike endowed with something toxic, maybe some kind of, these iron oxide nanoparticles, or now we can throw the graphene in there, maybe these radioactive nuclides, cytotoxic
right.
chemotherapy drugs. I don't know. And what else is this mRNA coding for?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Boy, there's some buddies somewhere are laughing at us trying to figure this out. Okay, here's what I want to get to is we're going to play an excerpt from a video in a couple of minutes. And this is really important. And it turns the page and opens a new chapter in this genocide of humanity. It's really a Holocaust, and you're going to be amazed at what you hear. So don't go away. Don't miss this. Let me read one from last night. This has to do with chest compressions given to someone who coded out and what happened. Set this up for us and I'll read it real quick if you would.
Well, this is somebody that was in the hospital. Not sure why. Sounded like it was an older individual. And they were failing. Whatever he had, they managed to stabilize him for a period of time, but then something happened and he coded, which means he, went into a death spiral, so to speak, and they attempted to resuscitate him. And when they began the chest compressions, he started bleeding from every orifice. I mean, just blood was pouring out of him. So he did end up dying. And then one of the nurses that was present for this overheard the family talking that he had had the vaccine a week earlier. But none of the medical staff that was present took note of that or was willing to consider that as a contributor to his condition. They just treated it and But
here,
apparently,
let me read this.
If you're in a hospital situation, you know,
mm-hmm.
you can't help but ask these questions and
oh,
see
I would
the
not.
pattern.
I don't. I look. I can't give medical advice. We don't do that here. But I personally would do everything humanly possible to stay away from a hospital now, especially.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be a good place to be right now.
No. All right. Here's the actual string of comment and reply about what Erica just explained. If I remember right, you're seeing the results in your practice. Microclots in the lungs. I might have you confused with someone else. Second comment. I'm seeing total body clotting to the point where the blood, give me that word again,
extravasates.
Thank you. Extravasates to the outer tissues and impossible to draw a blood sample. So look, if it extravasates to the outer tissues and then they say you can't draw a blood sample, what does that mean?
You're probably all clotted up.
So there's nothing flowing in your veins that you can tap into.
Yeah.
All right. And let's define extravasates just for the hell of it. It moves to the outer tissues.
Right.
And up, apparently to the extent that it's standing aside or getting out of the main transit,
right.
Capillaries, veins, arteries, it's moved out. In other words, it's leaked through the actual tunnels and tubes it travels through. That's what it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then the next comment is resulting in death, of course. Next comment. And someone can have a positive D-dimer and appear fine. Now explain that for us, please.
The D-dimer is an indication that you have formed clots and they are breaking up. So the dimer is the residual. So it's evidence of you having formed clots, but that they are breaking up. But having a positive one indicates that, you know, clotting is happening and you need to determine why.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, if it gets out of hand, if you continue forming clots that exceed your body's ability to break them down, you're going to have a bigger clot that's going to cause probably a major problem somewhere, maybe the lungs. But,
and
you know, the brain is a possibility. Or
right. And it'll cause your blood to extravasate. Don't forget that word, everyone. All right. Here's the rest of it. And someone can have a positive D-dimer and appear fine. Now, this person we're talking about had the vax. Remember that, about a week prior to expiring. The body resolved the clots on its own. But that doesn't mean without consequence. Vessels are damaged. Now, we heard that last night in detail, that vessels are damaged. Capillaries, you name it. Watched a code go down about 6 weeks ago. Now, here we're getting into what Erica gave us in the intro. Watched a code go down about 6 weeks ago. These are obviously medical professionals. I work at a hospital, and folks were puzzled as to what had happened. The patient had been stable, sick, but stable. And then, bam, the bottom fell out. Everyone was so puzzled, they asked the family to approve an autopsy. I will, of course, never know the results, but my guess is it might be hard to see or figure out, especially if they're not allowed to even ask the questions like, was this vaccine related? Anyway, after almost an hour of working on this person, blood began coming out of everywhere as they did chest compressions. Obviously, no hope at that point. Family member later casually mentioned the patient had the vaccine a week earlier. Doctor's response, quote, no, couldn't possibly be related, end quote. I just stood there and quietly, I hope, rolled my eyes and had lots of thoughts. So much is going on and no one is connecting the dots or seeing what may in fact be hiding in plain sight. Next comment, I don't understand how the doctors are blind to all of these symptoms. Final comment, I know, I am puzzled. My sense is many believe the system they were trained in. So many, and they just can't see it. Others probably do see, but can't afford to speak up. It's their job, and they just hope it will all go away. And related to that, the way much of medicine is practiced, it doesn't matter. Patient presents with symptoms. They treat, try to mask symptoms. Our cardiology department been very busy. Do they care? Why? Of course, the explanation is that people put off getting needed care all last year. Maybe that explains some of the cases. I think it's actually a blindness. If you've already determined that it can't possibly be the vaccine, then you will never see the patterns and the correlations. So this is the problem in organized medicine, professional medicine today, in hospitals where you think you're going in to be saved. And it just doesn't work that way, unfortunately. All right, now we have a gentleman named Dr. Brian Artis, who said, and I quote, "We are witnessing intentional medical genocide," end quote. He says a lot more than that. Now, I want to bring you back to remdesivir. Remdesivir. Tell us what remdesivir is, just in a little simple overview, Erica. This is really important because it's commonly used on anybody that goes in the hospital that is determined, I guess through black magic, to be infected with COVID.
Yeah, this is really a travesty. Apparently, as of March 2020, the only approved treatment, if you were admitted to a hospital for COVID, was, per Anthony Fauci, remdesivir. Now, remdesivir is an antiviral, and it has a deplorable track record. It's toxic. It doesn't really do anything. It was tried in the case of Ebola, and it just made everything worse. It was one big fail. So when COVID came around, I guess Fauci determined that he wanted to give it another shot and recommended that it be the only course of treatment for diagnosed COVID. And if you were admitted to a hospital with that diagnosis, that was your only option. That and maybe a ventilator, which was no better. It was an inappropriate treatment for whatever COVID was, and there's even some question as to whether or not they were making accurate diagnoses anyway.
With PCR, 95% false positive, so how, yeah.
Yeah, and the scandalous thing about that was that they changed the definition of what a case was, in that you could have a positive PCR for influenza, but if there was a COVID case in that town or that community, you could reclassify it as COVID.
Wow.
And there was so much corruption going on, you know, just to pump up those numbers.
Right.
But at any rate, remdesivir was toxic. It was just destroying people's kidneys. And I just about everybody, or 80% of the people that were given remdesivir, died within 3 days. And it was, of course, it was classified as a COVID death. They blamed the kidney failure on COVID when, in fact, it was actually the drug.
Did you all hear that clearly? It was actually the drug. All right. Speaking of Fauci, today he said mandates will be necessary to convince 93 million Americans to accept the vaccine. This is, in all recorded human history, the biggest story ever. Global. Remember, it's not just happening here. Don't ever forget that. It's happening all around the world. This is worldwide global genocide. That's what it is. All right, here I'm going to play a little clip from Dr. Artis, A-R-D-I-S, and let's see what he has to say about remdesivir. I think you'll find this to be very interesting.
Abi, this is like, so that killed your father-in-law, and that's what got your attention when you heard that they're using remdesivir in New York, right?
Yeah, what got my attention was the New York doctors were reporting, when we're treating this new coronavirus, we're seeing that within 3 to 5 days, we're seeing acute kidney failure.
Yeah.
Because the virus, we assume, is attacking the kidneys.
Yeah.
Which I knew right away that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. So I actually wanted to know, are they using vancomycin on these people also? Because this is a virus just like the flu. So I went on to CDC's website to find out what are they actually treating COVID patients with. And the CDC refers you to the National Institutes of Health website for the treatment protocol of COVID-19. And this is when the storm happened for me. Mm-hmm. When I opened the website, Anthony Fauci was declaring that there's this new drug that is mandated in all hospitals and used by all medical doctors in America called remdesivir, and it is the only treatment to be used in all hospitals in America.
Mandated for all hospitals, the only treatment to be used, remdesivir. Already well known, Fauci knew that it killed people. They tried it with Ebola. It's a joke. It's like AZT, the failed cancer chemotherapy drug they took off the shelf, and Fauci called it a cure for or a treatment for HIV/AIDS. What a joke. All AZT ever did was go into the bone marrow and destroy your immune system from the ground up. That's what it did. That's what it does. And they're still using it on Africans, where 30% of Africans, sub-Saharan Africans, right now are infected with HIV and have AIDS. It's simple. So this was policy. You just heard him say that. It was Fauci-mandated policy. What did he just say in your estimation? He just said,
kill him. Basically, yeah. The people were not, first of all, there's a question whether they were accurately diagnosed. I mean, what happened to influenza? There was practically no diagnoses of influenza last year. So everything going into the hospital was classified as COVID. So, you know, right off the bat, it's questionable whether they were given the appropriate treatment for whatever they were suffering from. And then if it was determined that it was COVID, their only option, despite there being, you know, quite a few options, the only approved option for a hospital setting was remdesivir, and it was killing people.
The only approved, but they were chalking it up to death by COVID.
Yes.
Right, I'm going to play that little part again. Now listen carefully. This is Fauci. This is CDC, Fauci, and Trump, ultimately.
People also, because this is a virus just like the flu. So I went on to CDC's website to find out what are they actually treating COVID patients with. And the CDC refers you to the National Institutes of Health website for the treatment protocol of COVID-19. And this is when the storm happened for me. Mm-hmm. When I opened the website, Anthony Fauci was declaring that there's this new drug that is mandated in all hospitals and used by all medical doctors in America called remdesivir, and it is the only treatment to be used in all hospitals in America.
Whoa.
And then it said, you cannot use hydroxychloroquine. It's proven to be dangerous for COVID-19 patients, and you can't use chloroquine. Now, I have reviewed drugs that patients have been on for the last 20 years. I had never heard of remdesivir. So I went to the FDA's website to find out any information about remdesivir, only to find out remdesivir was never FDA approved to be safe or efficacious for any disease. But on the NIH's website, Anthony Fauci said, every doctor in the country has to use remdesivir only. And there's these two research studies that prove remdesivir is efficacious and warranted during this novel coronavirus. The first study quoted on the website was, the Ebola trials on 4 experimental drugs in 2018. And then there was a second study, which was a study, it's called a cohort study, which was actually sponsored by Gilead, the manufacturer of remdesivir, in March 2020. And they had 53 COVID-19 patients from 3 countries, Japan, Canada, and America, that they gave remdesivir for 28 days. Now, there was two links on the National Institutes of Health website that Anthony Fauci was quoting. All I did was click the first one. I wanted to see this research study on the Ebola virus that warranted now Fauci saying, we're going to use this non-FDA-approved drug because of this research study on Ebola. When I clicked the link, and anyone can go to it now, in that study, there was four drugs, remdesivir and National Institutes of Health experimental drug that Fauci put in, not remdesivir, but a second one, and then two other experimental antibodies. In the study, at 6 months of this one-year study, the safety board for the study found remdesivir had the highest death rate of all four experimental drugs and pulled the drug from the study. It didn't even make it to the end of the study because it was so deadly. They also pulled Anthony Fauci's experimental drug he put in the trial because it was the second most deadly. So did Anthony Fauci know about remdesivir's death? Oh, you better believe it. And now he was going to push this on the masses? Well, the second study that he quoted on NIH's website, which was the cohort study by Gilead, it actually published its findings within 28 days of giving these 53 COVID-19 patients from three countries. They figured out what the side effects were. 22% of all 53 patients that had COVID-19 experienced these four lethal side effects. Multiple organ failure, acute kidney failure, septic shock, and hypotension. 8% of them had to be taken off the drug on day 5 or 10 because they were dying from the poison of the drug's effects on multiple organs. So 30% of these individuals experienced four life-threatening side effects of the drugs. Now, acute kidney failure was the one that caught my attention. What were the medical doctors in New York saying in the media? We've never seen a virus do this before, but when we start treatment, we're seeing a virus attack the kidneys and cause acute kidney failure. Not only in New York are we struggling to find ventilators, we don't have enough dialysis machines. Well, I knew right away it was remdesivir poisoning. Anthony Fauci knew it was deadly because the actual research study he was quoting, I could not believe that no one clicked the link to go look at the study to see, well, what were the results of the study with remdesivir on Ebola virus patients that warrants now Fauci saying you got to give it to coronavirus patients. Anyway, it was disgusting, and immediately I had to contact the media and actually tell the world what was obviously printed in these research studies. It was never proven safe. It was never proven effective. And then I learned America was the only country from January 2020 until October 2020 to treat all COVID patients with remdesivir. Our country bought up all of remdesivir reserves, and we were the only country that used it for the whole first 10 months of 2020. And which country in the world had the most deaths in the entire world? The United States of America. Do you want to know why? They poisoned them all to death with remdesivir.
All right. I know you all heard that. That was the game. That was the game. That's how they partially inflated the figures, the death count. That's how they kept the fear porn going. That's how they kept making money for Gilead. I noticed that Moderna and Pfizer just raised their European prices 25%. And I think it's some, what was it, $40 billion that Pfizer has already made now on these kill
shots?
Oh, it's
obscene, yeah, it's obscene.
So Artis is right on. I hope he's got his life insurance paid up.
It's scandalous.
It's mass murder with malice aforethought. I don't know how else to look at it. Are we to think that Fauci is that stupid and that uninformed? No.
No, he published a paper back in 2005 when they were first playing with these coronaviruses in the lab, and he published that the chloroquine which is, you know, an analog of hydroxychloroquine, was effective at curtailing infection with SARS coronavirus. And then
that's
he conveniently...
That's SARS coronavirus 1, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, a published paper, peer-reviewed published paper, 2005. He knew that hydroxychloroquine was effective at preventing infection with SARS coronavirus. And then he conveniently redacted the paper to remove his name now. I'm sure the original is still floating around, but yeah, it's out there. He knew that, and he was trying to suppress that information.
I don't mean to be melodramatic, but he really is the face of hell. You think about what he knew, what he knows, and what he did, and how he worked with the CDC to demand that remdesivir be the only drug used to treat anyone who allegedly had coronavirus. Of course, we know now, what? That many of those patients never had coronavirus. They had the flu.
Yep.
The flu doesn't just vanish. So
right.
They had the damn flu. And what did they do? They gave them a death drug. They killed them. This is a mass murder. There's no other way to look at it. Hundreds of thousands of people. And Gilead is making a fortune. There's big money in death. That's one thing we want to remember. These people are driven by money, and they're not driven by our health or concern thereof. They don't care.
Yeah, I don't know how people can not see him for the criminal that he is at this point. But there are people that still believe in him and support him, and they're his fan club and his disciples.
So now today, what's he doing? Calling for mandates. Mandates will be necessary to convince, see the word convince, 93 million Americans to accept the vaccine. I can't tell you how many videos I've seen of people saying, they're going to have to shoot me first, not with a needle. Here, let's see what he said. Speaking at the Center of Strategic and International Studies on today, Dr. Anthony, I won't even say his last name, inadvertently hinted at why moving the goalposts on herd immunity is so important to the Biden illegal administration's strategy for mandatory vaccines. Now that 70% of adults have been vaccinated, the government is only going to continue ramping up its campaign. That's obvious. Fauci said, I'd settle for 70% or 80%, but I'd love to see 90% shot up with the vaccines. And we know now that all indications are, tragically, that the great majority of people who have been vaccinated are headed for real big trouble. I don't want to phrase it any other way.
They don't even have... Fauci or the CDC does not even have the numbers to support what they're saying. I mean, by all accounts, the people who are vaccinated by their, you know, the CDC's own admission this past week was that most of the new cases, if we believe these are genuine cases of coronavirus, are in the vaxxed. So the vaccine is not working.
That's an abject admission of complete failure. It doesn't work. It should be withdrawn. Well, never mind. We know this. Here, let's see what else this creep said. I think you're going to see more people get vaccinated, and you're also going to see enterprises feeling much more confident in local mandates for the vaccines. Enterprises being businesses feeling much more confident about forcing people to take the vaccines or they lose their job. You're going to see more universities, places of businesses. Once they get the cover of the mandate, you'll start seeing more vaccines. Because if you get the majority of people vaccinated, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. Fauci also criticized governors who have given orders making it illegal to require masking or vaccinations. Quote, if from the little fraud, if everybody got vaccinated, we wouldn't be arguing about masks. The need for masks would be reduced dramatically. So if that's true, why did the vaccinated have to wear masks at all? It's all so simple to see and so corrupt and so perverted. This is mass murder. And it goes so far beyond Nuremberg. It's not funny. It's crazy. It's insanity. And it's like the American people can't or won't see it. Now, look, I understand that most people watch the TV and think they're actually getting news. No, they're getting programmed. That's why they call it programming. They do have the option of the Internet, and this stuff is all over the Internet now. Believe it. I know Google is trying, but they haven't gotten rid of all of it.
I think by now, at least everybody knows somebody, at least one person, that has had an adverse event if they've gotten this injectable.
I just had a doctor call me this morning from the East Coast and was told that two personal acquaintances are now in the hospital with clots after getting vaxxed. And the doctor said that another person, a friend of the doctor, said that three of his friends were also in the hospital now with clots after being vaxxed. But the real problem is we're seeing reports now of people who weren't vaxxed showing clotting. That's really scary. Microclots accumulate around the clock. They'll go into a capillary and they'll block it. We heard this last night. They'll be stacking up clots here and there in various portions of the body. It goes into one part. What happens in the brain, Erica, if clots, microclots begin to form in the brain? What happens there?
Well, you're going to lose that brain tissue. The brain it needs oxygen to function. And when that oxygen supply is shut off, as what happens with a clot, then, you know, you slowly lose that area of the brain.
It's dead.
Yeah, it dies.
This is going to be mistaken for Guillain-Barré. You watch. It'll be mistaken for Alzheimer's, mad cow.
Well, they'll call it something else. I mean, this is so clever because, you know, there's this lag time between having gotten the vaccine and the time that these symptoms begin to become noticeable and problematic. I mean, they're already denying, you know, reactions within a day of the vax, calling them unrelated, coincidental.
I don't know what happened to America. We used to think, I mean, this isn't even deductive reasoning. It's even simpler than common sense. It's simple cause and effect. And yet people are just they're not standing up. And unfortunately, for many of them, it's going to end up very, very badly. Okay, I've got this Russian thing. Do you want to do that real quick, or do you want to go back and listen to a little bit more of Dr. Artis?
Oh, why don't we stay on topic for tonight and leave that for another night?
Very good. All right, let's go back and see what else he has to say here for a few minutes.
I called it Fauci's genocide. He knew it beforehand. He knew it for 2 years before he mandated this drug, that it was deadly.
So this, from when is this recommendation that Fauci gave? Is that in February? So this was immediately when it started. This is what they gave them. This was the hydroxychloroquine that popped up later. Is that right? The idea to use...
It was both. They were both drugs were used in the wrong way, And I think there are two things you have to have in mind.
This is another doctor on the round table they're talking.
First, the diagnosis may be wrong. And second, the therapy may be wrong. And I think both things are where we have to consider here, because the diagnosis was made with a test. And now we know the CDC is just saying that with the test is not sure, the results are not sure. Maybe you also find influenza with the test, because the influenza has vanished and only COVID-19 was there suddenly. So they start to kit the test now, and they start to find some multiplex tests to have a more differentiated diagnosis. So the diagnosis, we don't know which diagnosis we had. Everyone was thinking of COVID-19. They made this Drosten test, and they found out it was positive, and then it was COVID-19. And they treated like Mr. Fauci said. And it's very correct that those drugs, like remdesivir and like hydroxychloroquine, in this doses, were never agreed to be antiviral therapy. And it was just that they made a panic, and with the background of this panic, they were succeeded to tell us that there is some emergency possibility. And they gave us those drugs, those experimental drugs. They wanted to sell already for years remdesivir. They always tried remdesivir with Ebola, with others. They tried to market this stuff where they had the patent, where they wanted to produce and wanted to sell it. And it was very dangerous in Ebola. This is right. And when it's dangerous in Ebola, it has nothing to do with the Ebola virus. It just has to do with remdesivir. So if you give remdesivir to a healthy person, he will also be damaged. So this is we have to distinguish the viral disease. Which one was it? We don't know exactly. We only know the test was positive. And the second is there were drugs given, like remdesivir, which were very toxic and did not help in any way to treat this disease. And Mr. Fauci could not know that there is some positive effect, but maybe he knew that there is a negative effect. And for sure he knew that hydroxychloroquine in a dose which was tenfold more than you normally used, and that this would be toxic for many people. It would be toxic for normal people because of the heart, of the effects on the heart. And it would be toxic also to people with a certain, with a favism defect, with this enzyme defect, where they would get hemolysis in this doses. So it seems to me, I'd say this, we have to find out whether there was a strategy to produce victims of so-called COVID-19 pandemic. And they produced those victims successfully in New York, for instance, with treating the people in a wrong way. There were many victims of this false treatment, for sure. And there were many victims also when they gave it to very old people in many countries, and when they gave it, when they put them to ventilators where it was not necessary. So they used many, many wrong things, where the diagnosis was not sure, but they used the wrong things just to produce victims we could be afraid of. And they said, this is COVID-19. They all die, but they killed them. And this, we have to examine this, and we have to, yes.
Okay, he's summed it up very well. They killed them. They used the wrong therapy. They certainly should not have used ventilators. If you went on a ventilator, I don't know if you remember any of this, but you had only a 20% chance of coming off of them.
Yeah.
They just were not the right treatment, correct?
Right. Yep. Because it was really a blood disorder, not a lung disorder at that point. So they were forcing, you know, oxygen into the lungs, and it was just making everything worse.
God, what a nightmare. All planned. What you heard him say also, they used fear to shuffle this in. Fear porn. Same thing they're doing now. They've tried everything they can. They're desperate to get people to take these kill shots, and they're not being successful, not like they'd like. So that's where the mandating is coming in.
It's interesting.
Go ahead.
They've admitted now that the PCR test is faulty, and it's you know, I guess they're going to let it run out till December of this year when it will be replaced by something else.
They keep using it.
And to my knowledge, they cannot distinguish between these variants. So how is it that they're determining that all these new cases are the Delta variant versus, I mean, these are just people with symptoms. They could have anything. But they're labeling it as a Delta variant, and for whatever reason, they're mostly prevalent in the already vaxxed. But it could be anything. And I would conjecture that, you know, these people are just suffering immune suppression because of the effects of these vaccines. Their immune systems are suffering. So they're going to be susceptible to a wide range of opportunistic infections, viral, bacterial, fungal. Several fungal infections are on the rise right now,
just
particularly
like AIDS,
in institutional or care homes.
Just like AIDS, same thing. Suppressed immune system, destroyed immune system, door opens, infections show up. They call the AIDS infections hallmark, over 30 hallmark AIDS infections, any one of which can be fatal. You get two or three together and you're toast. So we're going to end up with, apparently, a lot of people. And then we don't know how quickly this is going to happen, but clearly from the beginning, these vaccines go instantly throughout your body and begin to suppress or redirect your immune system and reprogram your cells to produce the spike protein, which will cause your immune system to focus on it and it alone, because there is so much of it by volume in your body. It's overwhelming. Evil stuff.
There's that aspect of it, but there's also the deliberate suppression of the interferon response.
Tell us about that. That's very important. Yeah, no one's talking about that.
This is similar. Picture what has to happen in order to transplant an organ into a new host. You have to turn down the immune system to some extent in order to get the body to accept somebody else's body part. And if you don't, then the host will reject that organ because it knows it's foreign. It shouldn't be there. So a similar strategy has to happen with these gene transfer techniques. So the way around that is to turn down, they put something in the vaccine, be it in the mRNA, a code, to make the cell not produce interferon or to ablate it when it does produce it, to just work around it. And that's typical of any virus, or many viruses will do that. They will turn off the cell's natural immune defense. The cell does not want to be taken over by a foreign anything, a virus, bacteria, fungus, pathogen, or this synthetic mRNA. So there is a code in the mRNA, and Moderna, I mean, this is Derek Rossi's technology, where they have to turn down the interferon response. So when you're injected with these things and these lipid nanoparticles go everywhere, the adenovirus travels around and looks for cells to infect. This is quite different from a coronavirus or SARS virus in that typically the SARS or coronavirus only will infect the respiratory or airway, and then maybe if it gets beyond that, anything with an ACE2, but a lot of times you can arrest it at the point of entry. Well, these lipid nanoparticles don't discriminate. They will infect any cell that they happen to bump up against and fuse their lipid coating with, and then deliver their payload, being the mRNA, and then that cell now, because it doesn't have the defense of the interferon, will start producing that foreign protein. And so wherever those cells are that have now been transfected with this stuff, they will be immune suppressed. And that is one reason, I'm pretty sure, why we're seeing this resurgence of latent herpes viruses, because you need interferon to keep herpes viruses in check so that they stay quiet and they don't activate and become a problem. So having the interferon response turned down just indiscriminately throughout the body is going to make people susceptible to a variety of opportunistic infections.
What agent
for how
might
long,
be?
We don't know.
Right. What agent might be in the vax that would do that? What would you suspect?
Well, I'm looking at that URA-3665 as a possibility. I mean, the URA could mean uracil, which is part of RNA. And the 3665 is a gene ID that corresponds to interferon regulatory factor 7. So that, if I'm correct about that, that is addressing the interferon response in the cell and maybe what's affecting bystanders as well.
Innocent bystanders. All right, what you just heard is heard first here, and the idea of interferon suppression is key to this whole process. Perhaps that's what it looks like. All right, well done. Thank you very much again, Erica, and we'll talk soon. It's
okay, Jim.
It's not a happy picture out there.
No, it isn't. But forewarned is forearmed, I guess.
Well, we hope. The idea now, when you're back tomorrow night, we probably want to spend a little time on the bystander issue, innocent bystanders.
Okay.
After what we heard tonight about somebody at dinner, and then just a few hours later, wow, that's pretty amazing. Okay, very good. Thank you. Talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Good night.
Good night. Erica Kahn, and there we go with our latest update. We're going to finish up with a lot of things tomorrow night, and this idea of all of you who have not been vaccinated, how worried, I mean, I could say paranoid, how paranoid do you get? I mean, how really worried should you be? Well, we'll try and take a good look at that tomorrow night. All right, take care. Talk to you tomorrow.